Luke chapter 19, and we'll begin reading in verse number 1, and we'll read up to verse 27, Luke chapter 19, and we'll begin reading in verse 1. The Bible says, "And Jesus entered and passed through Jericho. Behold, there was a man there named Zacchaeus, which was the chief among the publicans, and he was rich. And he sought to see Jesus, who he was, and could not for the press, because he was little of stature. And he ran before and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was to pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him, and said unto him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must abide at thy house. And he made haste and came down and received him joyfully. And when they saw it, they all murmured, saying, that he was gone to be guest with a man that is a sinner. And Zacchaeus stood and said unto the Lord, Behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor. If I have taken anything from any man by false accusation, I restore him fourfold. And Jesus said unto him, This day is salvation come to this house, for as much as he is also a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. And as they heard these things, he added and spake a parable, because he was nigh to Jerusalem, and because that they thought the kingdom of God should immediately appear. He said, Therefore, a certain nobleman went into a far country to receive for himself a kingdom, and to return. And he called his 10 servants, and delivered them 10 pounds, and he said unto them, Occupy till I come. But his citizens hated him, and sent a message after him, saying, We will not have this man to reign over us. And it came to pass that when he was returned, having received the kingdom, then he commanded these servants to be called unto him, to whom he had given the money, that he might know how much every man had gained by trading. Then came the first, saying, Lord, thy pound hath gained 10 pounds. And he said unto him, Well, thou good servant, because thou hast been faithful in a very little, have thou authority over 10 cities. And the second came, saying, Lord, thy pound hath gained 5 pounds. And he said likewise to him, Be thou also over 5 cities. And another came, saying, Lord, behold, here is thy pound, which I have kept laid up in a napkin. For I feared thee, because thou art an austere man. Thou takest up thou layest not down, and reapest that thou didst not sow. And he saith unto him, Out of thine own mouth will I judge thee, thou wicked servant. Thou knewest that I was an austere man, taking up that I laid not down, and reaping that I did not sow. Wherefore then gavest not thou my money into the bank, that upon my coming I might have required mine own with usury? And he said unto them that stood by, Take from him the pound, and give it to him that hath 10 pounds. And they said unto him, Lord, he hath 10 pounds. For I say unto you, that every one which hath shall be given from the hand. Not even that he has shall be taken away from him. But those mine enemies which would not that I should reign over them, bring them hither and slay them before me. Let's go before the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, again, Lord, we thank you for your love. We thank you for your mercy. We thank you for the truths that we find in your word. I pray this time that you'd use the word of God to challenge us, to guide us, and direct us. And Lord, speak to our hearts through these truths. I pray yet again, Lord, if there's anyone in our midst or anyone who's watching through the online, I pray that you'd work in their hearts that they don't know you as their personal Lord and Savior, and that they would bow the knee and they would trust in you for the forgiveness of sins. Lord, I just pray in each and every aspect of this service that you be glorified. You give me the words and wisdom and preach thus saith the Lord, and we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. If you're taking notes this evening, I entitled the message, Occupy Till I Come. Occupy Till I Come. In this passage of Scripture, we learn a very important truth. They supposed that the Lord was going to go to Jerusalem and set up his kingdom. They thought Jesus was going to rule and reign here on this earth. They thought a great thing was about to occur, but it did not happen as the way they thought it would happen. We must occupy until the Lord returns with his kingdom. One day, Jesus will come to rule and reign this earth. I hope each and every one of you are looking forward to that day. But until that day, we remain. We have a purpose. God has given us responsibility. He has given us the opportunity to be faithful, to be that person who takes that which he has given to us and gather even more for him and his glory. Many thought the Lord was going to Jerusalem to overthrow the Roman government and set up his earthly kingdom. However, the Lord knew that this was not going to pass. They misunderstood what the Lord was doing. Jesus came to give his life to save the lost. The people thought the kingdom of God was going to appear. So the Lord spoke this parable unto them. In this parable, we learn that the nobleman, which is speaking, is Jesus. It speaks of him going to leave to receive the kingdom, and one day he would return. Before he leaves, he gives instruction with provision to his servants to tell them to occupy till he comes. This speaks of the Lord as telling us, his servants, those who have trusted in Christ, that we are to remain faithful until he returns. He has given us a responsibility. And it also speaks of the two servants who are faithful, one who is not. And it speaks of those who reject him. They say, we will not have this man to reign over us. They don't want anything to do with God. They want to be their own masters. But in this passage of Scripture, we're going to begin with looking at the nobleman. The nobleman. The Bible says in Luke chapter 19 and verse 8, and Zacchaeus stood and said unto the Lord, behold, the Lord, half of my goods I give to the poor. And if I have taken anything from any man by false accusation, I restore him fourfold. And Jesus said unto him, this day salvation come to this house, for so much as he also is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. And as they heard these things, he added and spake a parable, because he was nigh to Jerusalem, and because they thought that the kingdom of God should immediately appear. He said, therefore, a certain nobleman went into a far country to receive for himself a kingdom and to return. The people were there and they saw Zacchaeus and they saw what the Lord had said to him, that the Lord had come to seek and to save that which was lost. He was on his way to Jerusalem and they supposed when he got to Jerusalem that he was going to set up an earthly kingdom. They thought this is the day God is going to do a great work in our midst. We're going to see God overthrow the Roman government. We're going to see God take control of this world, and he's going to rule and reign with authority. But Jesus, knowing what they were thinking, he spoke this parable. He wanted to let them know something through this parable. The people were seeing Jesus at work, and they thought the next step was for the kingdom. And Jesus, knowing what they were thinking, he spoke this parable. And through this parable, we learn that his kingdom is coming, but not just yet. The Bible says that he leaves. If you're taking notes, sorry, for the first part, it's the nobleman is Christ. Letter B, the nobleman receives his kingdom. One day, the nobleman, or the Lord Jesus Christ, is going to come with his kingdom. He's going to rule and reign this earth with a rod of iron. But that has not occurred yet. Turn your Bibles to the book of John. John chapter 18. John chapter 18. And we'll begin reading in verse 33, John chapter 18, and we'll begin reading in verse 33. John chapter 18 and verse 33, the Bible says, then Pilate entered into the judgment hall again and called Jesus and said unto him, art thou king of the Jews? Jesus answered him, sayest thou this thing of thyself, or did others tell thee of me? Pilate answered, am I a Jew? Thine own nation and the chief priests have delivered thee unto me. What hast thou done? Jesus answered, my kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then would my servants fight that I should be delivered to the Jews. But now is my kingdom not from hence. Pilate therefore said unto him, art thou a king then? Jesus answered, thou sayest that I am a king. To this end was I born, and for this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. Everyone that is of the truth heareth my voice. Pilate saith unto him, what is truth? Jesus' kingdom for now is not from hence. Jesus is speaking to Pilate. He says, right now my kingdom is not here. Right now, at this current moment in time, my kingdom is not of this world. If it were of this world, my servants would come and fight for me. There would be none of these things that you see going on happening, because if my kingdom were from here, things would be a lot different. But one day the Lord will return with his kingdom. Turn to the Bibles, to the book of Acts, Acts chapter 1, and we'll begin reading at verse 6. Acts chapter 1, and we'll begin reading at verse 6. When they therefore were come together, they asked him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom of Israel? And he said unto them, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put in his own power. But ye shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you. Ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. And when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and the cloud received them out of their sight. While they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven. The disciples, even after the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, they thought, Lord, when are you going to set up the kingdom? When is this going to happen? We know it's going to happen. When are you going to do that? And Jesus responded, it's not for you to know. That's God the Father. He's in control of that situation. But you shall be witnesses unto me. You're going to occupy here. You're going to be faithful. You have a job to do until I return again. And the angels confirmed this. They said, the same way you've seen him leave, he's going to come back. Jesus is coming again. Jesus will return. And even as we've read through these passages of Scripture, the excitement and the people were wondering, when are you going to set up your kingdom? He said, don't you focus on that. This is what you need to do. You need to be faithful until I return. Jesus, the nobleman, tells his disciples, it is not for them to know. Acts 1:11, I've said already, he spoke of when even the angels said the same truth. The Lord will return, but until then, we need to be faithful. We need to use what God has given us to glorify him until he returns. We need to be faithful with that which God has given to us. Which brings me to my next point, the faithful servants. The faithful servants. Luke chapter 19 and verse 13, the Bible says, the following, if you're taking notes, the faithful servants, the letter A under that is they worked and used their pound. They worked and used their pound. Luke 19:13. And he called his 10 servants and delivered them 10 pounds and said unto them, occupy till I come. And it came to pass that when he was returned, having received the kingdom, then he commanded these servants to be called unto him, to whom he had given the money, that he might know how much every man has gained by trading. Then came the first, saying, Lord, thy pound hath gained 10 pounds. And he said unto them, well, thou good servant, because thou hast been faithful in a very little, have thou authority over 10 cities. And the second came, saying, Lord, thy pound hath gained 5 pounds. And he said likewise unto him, you have been faithful. Thy pound hath gained 5 pounds. And he said, be thou also over 5 cities. The one servant turned his pound into 10 pounds, and the other turned his pound into 5 pounds. This is a representation of being faithful until the Lord returns. God has given us a responsibility to be faithful, which that he has provided us with. And one of the greatest responsibilities that we have been given is the sharing of the gospel. As we look at the scripture even before we spoke of, it speaks of Jesus saying, I came to seek and to save that which was lost. The Lord expects from us, above all else, to be seeking for the lost, to be doing the work that he has given us to do, to be faithful until he returns. The one servant turned his pound into 10 pounds, and the other turned his pound into 5 pounds. You will find, when it comes to the work of the Lord, the more you sow, the more you'll reap. The more you'll go, the more you'll see people. The more you do what God has given us to do, the more you'll see in return. The gospel, when it is sown, will multiply. That is why the word of God is compared to seed being sown. When you share the word of God, when you share the gospel, it will do a work that you cannot do on your own strength. We need to be faithful in sharing the gospel. We need to be those faithful servants. God has provided us the opportunity of sharing the gospel. The Bible says the following, 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Turn there if you would. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. And we'll begin reading in verse 6. 1 Corinthians 3. And we'll begin reading in verse 6. I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So then neither is he that planteth anything, neither he that watereth, but God that giveth the increase. Now he that planteth and he that watereth are one, and every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor. For we are laborers together with God. You're God's husbandry, you're God's building. According to the grace of God, which is given unto me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. For other foundation can no man lay than that it is laid, which is Jesus Christ. These faithful servants were faithful to that which was given to them. In this passage of Scripture, the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 8, and every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor. God knows what you're doing. God sees the results of your work. And one day he's going to return. And you're going to find out whether or not you are faithful or unfaithful. Whether your pound has gained 10 pounds, whether your pound has gained 5 pounds. The servants were faithful, and what was given to them as a result is a fruit that abounded toward their account. Which brings me to my next point, they are rewarded. You will find in the work of the Lord, if you are faithful, God will reward you. We need to be faithful for those rewards. It's not just given out willy-nilly. God gives it according to your faithfulness. The Bible says in due time we'll reap if we faint not. The Bible promises us rewards based upon our faithfulness and what we do of whether or not we're doing it for the Lord. Are we doing it out of love? Are we serving God wholeheartedly? They are rewarded according to their faithfulness. The Bible says in Luke 19:16, and I'll read it through again. Then came the first saying, Lord, thy pound hath gained 10 pounds. And he said unto him, well, thou good servant, because thou hast been faithful in the very little, have thou authority over 10 cities. And the second came saying, Lord, thy pound hath gained 5 pounds. And he said likewise to him, be thou also over 5 cities. The reward was responsibility. It was privilege. He said, your pound has gained 10 pounds. I'm going to give you responsibility. I'm going to allow you to reign over 10 cities. He said to the other, your pound has gained 5 pounds. I'm going to give you responsibility. You're going to be able to reign over 5 cities. According to our faithfulness and what we do with what God has given will determine where we are in the kingdom of God. I'm not saying whether or not you'll enter into the kingdom. I'm saying it will determine whether or not God will put you in a position of authority, whether or not he will give you certain privileges. It isn't that you become saved and that's it. You become saved and there's a work to do. And there's a special privilege for those who are faithful unto the end, who do the best that they can. They take what God has given them and they serve them with their whole heart, mind, body, and soul. And they say, I'm going to work till Jesus comes. And as a result of that work, the Lord upon his return, because they take what God has given him, they share the word of God, they share the gospel, people are saved. The Bible says, he that winneth souls is wise, because they are faithful, and many people enter into heaven's kingdom because of their faithfulness, the Lord's going to reward those people. He's going to bless them with responsibility. He's going to give them privilege. Certain privileges that you give according to your faithfulness. You don't lay, the Bible says you're lay hands suddenly on no man. Even here on this earth, you don't just give responsibility to anyone. You give responsibility to those who are faithful. And Jesus says when it comes to his kingdom, he's not going to just give it to anyone. He's not going to give these privileges, responsibilities to anyone. He's going to give it to those who were faithful. Those who occupied till he returned. The Bible says he's left for a period of time, but he's coming back again. Jesus says that they had been faithful in a very little, and therefore he rewarded them with responsibility, privilege. We will either have many things or little when it comes to whether or not we've been faithful, which brings me to my next point, the unfaithful servant. The unfaithful servant. Letter A under that, he was motivated by fear. He was motivated by fear. The Bible says in Luke chapter 19, verse 20 and following, "And another man came saying, Lord, behold, here is thy pound, which I have kept laid up in a napkin. For I feared thee, because thou art an austere man, thou takest up that thou layest not down, and reapest that thou didst not sow." Fear that is misplaced or improper will always result in one not to do what they should do. This man, he looked at the Lord. He knew the Lord. He was a servant, the Bible says. He was given responsibility like the rest, but there's something different. He was afraid, so he didn't do anything. And that's what fear will do in your life. If you look at the Lord's return, or if you look at your Lord as someone who's just holding his judgment over you, and if I don't do such and such, he's going to just take me out, you'll end up doing nothing for the Lord. It's a misrepresentation of who God actually is. God is not a God of anger. He's not there waiting for you to fail. He wants you to serve him out of love. He wants you to serve him as you ought to. Turn your Bibles to 1 John chapter 4. 1 John chapter 4, and we'll begin reading in verse 16. The Bible says in 1 John chapter 4, beginning at verse 16, the following, "And we have known and believed the love that God hath to us. God is love. And he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment. Because as he is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear, because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. We love him because he first loved us." The one servant, he looked at his master and he thought he's an austere man. He's an angry man. I'm afraid of him. But the Bible says in 1 John chapter 4 that God is love. And we love him because he first loved us. Don't ever allow fear to cloud your judgment. Don't ever allow fear to enter into your mind and be what motivates you, because it will keep you from doing what God wants you to do. Perfect love, Bible says, casts out fear. The servant should have operated love, but instead he allowed fear to take control of the situation. He allowed misunderstandings in his view to cloud what was true. The Bible says if our love is made perfect, we will live for him because we love him. The Bible says because as he is, so are we in this world. A person needs to operate in the motive in love. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 9 the following. Turn there if you would. 1 Corinthians 9. And we'll begin reading in verse 16. Bible says, 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 16, "For though I preach the gospel, I have nothing to glory of, for necessity is laid upon me. Woe unto me if I preach not the gospel. For if I do this thing willingly, I have a reward. But if against my will, a dispensation of the gospel is committed unto me, What is my reward then? Verily, that when I preach the gospel, I may make the gospel of Christ without charge, that I abuse not my power in the gospel. For though I be free from all men, yet have I made myself servant unto all, that I might gain the more. And unto the Jews I became as a Jew, that I might gain the Jews. To them that are under the law is under the law, that I might gain them that are under the law. To them that are without law is without law, being not without law to God, but under the law to Christ, that I might gain them that are without law. To the weak became I as weak, that I might gain the weak. I made all things to all men, that I by all means save some. And this I do for the gospel's sake, that I might be partaker thereof with you. We see in this passage of Scripture that Paul, he says, you know what, I serve, whether it be willingly or unwillingly, there's been a dispensation given unto me, there's a responsibility I have, I serve because of what I've received. I've received the gospel. It's my responsibility at the very least to continue to share that gospel, whether I want to or not. Paul understood his responsibility, but Paul also understood who it was he served. He served out of love. But this unfaithful servant, he was clouded by fear. He didn't view God as he should have. He didn't view God as a loving Savior. He viewed God as just someone who is waiting to judge him come judgment time. And this is all comes down to, really, it comes down to whether or not you're faithful. Whether or not you take what God has given you and you use it for the furtherance of the gospel. Whether or not you be faithful in that which is little. The Bible says that if we're faithful, we'll have boldness in the day of judgment. But if we're unfaithful, if we're not doing what we're supposed to do, our heart's going to condemn us. We're going to be afraid upon the Lord's return because we're going to be ashamed. Paul was going to be a faithful servant, unlike the servant who feared his Lord, which resulted in his loss of his reward, which, letter B, he loses his reward. He loses his reward, speaking of the unfaithful servant. The Bible says in Luke 19:22 and following, and he saith unto him, out of thine own mouth will I judge thee, thou wicked servant. Thou knewest that I was an austere man, taking up that I laid not down, and reaping that I did not sow. Wherefore then gavest thou not my money into the bank, that at my coming I might have required mine own with usury? And he said unto them that stood by, take from him the pound, and give it to him that hath 10 pounds. That servant not only had an improper view of his Lord, and he operated out of fear, but because he didn't do what he was supposed to do, he wasn't faithful like the other two servants. The Bible says that which he had was taken away from him. This is not speaking of his salvation. This is speaking of his privilege, his rewards, what God had for him that he could have received. But because he was not faithful in that which God had given to him, the Bible says that he takes away even that which he does have. Turn your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. And we'll begin reading in verse number 12. 1 Corinthians 3:12, the Bible says, now if any man build upon this foundation gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire. And the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide, which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. This man's work, or whatever he did, more or less seems like he did nothing with what he was given. Upon the Lord's return, his work went up in smoke. Whatever he had, come the time of judgment, it was nothing to remain, because he did not serve the Lord out of faithfulness. He did not use what God had given him and use it in the right way. He operated in the wrong way. He was not faithful. He was saved, yet so as by fire. And there may be many Christians who are going to find themselves in that same position. They're going to go into heaven's doors. They're going to stand before their Savior. But they're going to be ashamed because they didn't do anything with what God had given to them. Now, this is not speaking of God is going to condemn you to judgment and hell, but still, if you're in that position where you're doing nothing for God, this is what your mind is going to be, is upon the Lord's return, what's He going to say? What's going to happen? What's God going to do to me? And the reason being is because your conscience is telling you, you need to go, you need to serve, you need to do these things. And you say, I can't, I'm afraid. And God says, you need to. And it causes you to view things in the wrong way, and before you know it, your time is up, you're standing before the Lord. And you're going to find God says, why didn't you do what you're supposed to do? And you're going to say, I was afraid. And you're going to find yourself in that same position. Yes, you're saved, you're before the Lord, but now you have nothing. The Bible says, take away that which he hath and give it unto the others. You're going to be left with nothing to set at the feet of Jesus. You're not going to have that privilege of being involved in certain things in the work in the kingdom because you weren't faithful here while you were here on this earth. And finally, I'll go to my last point this evening. There are the citizens that reject the Lord. There are the citizens that reject the Lord. The Bible says in Luke 19:14, but his citizens hated him and sent a message after him saying, we will not have this man to reign over us. Luke 19, verse 27, but those mine enemies which would not that I should reign over them, bring hither and slay them before me. Of course, the citizens, most likely, is dealing with the Jews. The Jews, they didn't want the Messiah to reign over them. They didn't know what it was that they had before them. But it's more than that. Anyone who hears the gospel, the good news, anyone who hears what Jesus has to offer them, and they reject it, and they say, we're not going to have this man reign over us. He's not going to tell me what to do. Come the time when the Lord returns with his kingdom, it's not going to be a good time for them. The citizens would not have the nobleman, speaking of Jesus, reign over them, and upon his return, they are put to death. Those who reject the gospel, those who reject the good news, they'll taste of second death. Those who receive the good news, those who have placed their trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, they don't have to worry about the second death. But anyone who will say of Jesus Christ, we're not going to have him reign over us, they will taste of the second death. The Bible says in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 14 and following, for ye, brethren, became followers of the churches of God, which are in Judea and are in Christ Jesus. For ye also suffered like things of your own countrymen, even as they have of the Jews, who both killed the Lord Jesus and their own prophets, and have persecuted us. And they please not God, and are contrary to all men, forbidding us to speak to the Gentiles that they might be saved, to fill up their sins always, for the wrath is come upon them to the uttermost. Those who will not receive the truth and willfully reject the Lord will face judgment. Anyone who chooses their sin over humility, anyone who would not receive the king to be their ruler, anyone who will not place their trust in the Lord Jesus Christ for forgiveness of sins will face judgment. The Bible says in John chapter 3:16 and following, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believe in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation. That light has come into the world, And men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God. These citizens who said, we're not going to have the king reign over us. This is speaking of those in this world who say, we're not going to have Jesus be our Savior. We love our sin. We love darkness. We've made a choice. We've made a decision, and we're not going to have him be our ruler. We're not going to humble ourselves before an almighty God. We're not going to be servants to him. We'd rather do what we want to do and have it be done that way. And no one else can tell us what to do. The Bible says the reason why they do this is because they've made a choice. They love darkness. They love their sin more than they love God. They don't want to be saved. The truth is, people who don't believe in the gospel have said, we will not have this man reign over us. As we think about this passage of Scripture, and it's dealing with the kingdom, and the people thought that the kingdom was going to come, and it will come, but it wasn't just yet. The Lord left to receive his kingdom. The kingdom of God is where the Lord's will is done without any contradiction. Right now, God's kingdom is not here on this earth, but one day it will be. And Jesus will rule and reign with a rod of iron. But until that day, we're to occupy till he comes. We're to be faithful until he returns. The Bible says in Luke chapter 11, verse 1, and it came to pass as he was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, one of his disciples said unto him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples. And he said unto them, when ye pray, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. As in heaven, so in earth. We're here, and our responsibility ought to be that, ought to be our prayer. As your will is done in heaven, let it be so done here on this earth. I can tell you right now, God's will is not being completely done here on this earth. You say, how do you know that? Currently, at this present moment, the will of the Lord's not being done as on the earth as it is in heaven. Because of people's rebellion and living in sin. In heaven, God's will is done without question, but here on this earth, there are many who question or rebel against the will of the Lord. There are many people who live in rebellion, and God allows it for the current time. But we have been given responsibility as Christians. Our prayer and our desire ought to be, as God's will is done in heaven, let it be done here on this earth in and through our lives. Let us live as our Master reigns in our lives. However, for us as Christians, we ought to live with the attitude and practice the Lord's will is done here and there at all times. We need to occupy until he comes. We are saved. Now we remain here on this earth until the Lord returns. Our Lord will soon return. Thy kingdom come. But until then, we must take the pound. We must take that what God has given us and share it until he returns. Share the gospel. Be faithful in that which God has given to us until the Lord returns. He has given us responsibility on his behalf to seek and to save the lost by preaching the gospel until his return. For some of you, for many of you, Lord willing, hopefully, you'll receive 10 pounds and you hear God say, you've been faithful, you've received the 10, I'm going to give you this privilege, I'm going to give you a responsibility to be over 10 cities. Others, it may be 5. But what we don't want to hear the Lord say, we don't want the Lord to say, why didn't you do anything? Why weren't you faithful? And there are others, they might not even enter through heaven's gates because they said, I don't want anything to do with God. He's not going to reign over my life. Wherever your position is, wherever you're at in life, God has given us a responsibility, and that is to occupy until he comes. And what he means by that is just simply serve and be faithful. The Bible says, and I'll read it yet again, in Acts chapter 1, verse 6 and following, "When they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, will thou at this time restore again the kingdom of Israel? And he said unto them, It's not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put in his own power. But ye shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And you shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem, and in all Judea, and in Samaria, unto the uttermost part of the earth." Let us be faithful. Will God's kingdom come again? Will God's kingdom come? Yes, it will. But until then, until he does come, we're to preach the gospel to the world. We're to be the faithful person that God wants us to be and serve him until he returns with his kingdom. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, again, Lord, we thank you for your love and your mercy. We thank you for what you do in our lives. Lord, I pray you'd help each and every one of us to be that faithful servant, Lord, who gains the 10 pounds or the 5 pounds.